everybody, and welcome to Ignite 2018. As promised, Dux and I are here quite literally in the middle of the show floor. There have been tons of announcements going on. Dux, you've got a lot going on. And so how are things going for you so far?
Man, it's a fantastic conference. I mean, this is, what, my yearly family reunion.
Yeah, I totally buy it. I mean, you see old friends, you make new friends, especially on the press side and analyst side. Everyone comes to this because this is, I would argue, from a personal standpoint, this is probably bigger than Build.
Absolutely. I mean, I recall my first face-to-face interaction with you really was last year.
No, you're absolutely right. And look how things have just grown up.
I know.
Up.
Now we're BFFs, man.
Our relationship is like teams.
Exactly.
That's a terrible analogy. But it's why don't we kick it off with there? Obviously, this is Microsoft's big event. IT pros from around the globe are here learning about what's next for their industry, for their specific job. And Teams is a huge part of that. What's your takeaway with their message so far and what they've announced?
You know, I love how Teams is being packaged in this event. You know, apart from the announcements, there's tons of announcements, right? Like the blurring of the background, the Skype to Teams transition, and you know, the Staff Hub now being available in Teams, which kind of tells the story of the first-time worker.
Yeah.
I think overall, the visibility of Teams in this event is huge, over 50 sessions, a lot of great content. And it's just the center of attention, pretty much. If you look at social sentiment, Microsoft Teams trends in the landscape of Microsoft Ignite. Yeah. So it's about Teams, Teams, Teams.
One of the first pieces of advice I ever got as a writer, a journalist, whatever you want to call it, was if you want to see where a company's investing their money, look, go to a conference and see what they have the sessions on, because that is where they think their future is going. And that's where they're investing. And with
over 50 sessions.
Yeah. Yes. That's not a secret, though. We've all known that Skype Online is going to go at the corporate side. I don't want the consumer side of people to freak out. the online side is going to go away over time. But Teams is the new hotness, right?
Sure, sure. And I want to clarify, Skype for business on-prem will still be around.
Yes, exactly. Yes. It's a very important clarification.
Sure, sure. But yeah, Teams, and there was a news report, I don't know, from one of the major trade racks that Teams is the fastest growing product for Microsoft. No surprise.
It's interesting that is the case. I wonder, of course, we all know you can lie with statistics. I wonder what their benchmark for that is. But clearly, there's something going on. They showed over 300,000 organizations are now utilizing the platform. It's clearly here to stay. And every time I see Microsoft tout these numbers, it kind of reiterates that fact that, yeah, it was probably a good thing they didn't buy Slack.
Yeah, and it's good, right? I mean, now there's competition in the market, and that fuels innovation and fuels, frankly, the opportunity for us to see who survives.
You hinted on it a little bit, but obviously one of the things Microsoft pitched the past couple weeks, it started with, I would say, the Surface Go potentially. Uh-huh. They start talking about the first line worker.
Sure.
The person who's out on the edge, the person, they're interacting with the customers. What are you hearing from Microsoft about first line? What are they announcing, not announcing?
Sure. You know, one of the things I think that's important to Microsoft's business, and this is what I see with customers as well, if you look at large organizations, be it retail, manufacturing, so let's just say hospitality industry, like a hotel chain, right? Imagine hundreds of thousands of employees. But in reality, not everybody would need the full suite of Microsoft technologies.
Makes sense.
And that's where the first-line workers comes in. They're working with customers day in, day out, be it a customer-facing service-oriented task, or frankly, they're out on, you know, in public sector, they're out on doing engineering work and whatnot. So, you know, Teams has been positioned to help fulfill that. Certainly, it's doable. But one technology that in the past couple months I've seen some press on that I haven't heard anything about this week is Kaizala.
Hmm.
You know, Kaizala is positioned as the bridge between your first line and there's another layer called your value chain.
Sure.
So imagine your contractors, your vendors, where you just need a lightweight type of technology.
Yeah,
so think WhatsApp, think WeChat, think Line, think groups-based messaging. I think that completes the picture, and I'm just curious and certainly excited to learn more about Kaizala. I just noticed that there wasn't much visibility for that this week.
Yeah, going back to the premise of what are they talking about, that's where they're investing. If they're not talking about it, it's interesting. One of the other interesting things that at least I noticed from this show is the future of Cortana. I think Microsoft kind of talked about it. If you had to read between the leaves on this stuff, so on stage, they showed off all these bots. And then if you remember the BMW demo.
Sure.
And they said, look, we can build a digital AI assistant. It's effectively a white box product for Microsoft overnight, right? You go to Microsoft and say, I need an AI. Mm. And they say, okay, here it is. Tell us the voice. Tell us everything else. I personally think that Cortana's future is going to be much like this Surface hardware. It's going to be kind of the hero. Microsoft says, look, this is the product that shows everything we can do. But it's not going to be everywhere, right? It's going to be an enterprise play, which is Microsoft's strength. I think this makes perfect sense. And how they're going to monetize it is when BMW comes up and says, hey, I want a digital AI assistant. Microsoft's done. And Mercedes comes and says, hey, I need one too. Done. And all their AI work, which they are doing a ton of,
sure,
manifests itself in Cortana.
Exactly.
And it will manifest itself in all these other bot assistants. But I think that's how Microsoft's going to go forward with Cortana.
And I think Cortana would be that persona, right?
Right.
Because AI, frankly, it's this nebulous, abstract right. concept. And in some ways may sound scary, sound too big. What's that AI that's in Terminator?
Gosh. I'm a terrible movie
buff. Right. But anyway. But but Cortana would be, you know, something more friendly.
Cause, yes.
Because, you know, off of Windows. But one of the things I love, right, for example, Cortana is weaved into the modern workplace story.
Yeah.
In Office 365, there's a technology called Calendar Help where Cortana helps schedule your meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And Cortana now sends reminders. Hey, you said this to Brad. Make sure you don't forget, right? So,
yep.
So those type of visibility on Cortana, I think, is definitely meaningful and useful in the enterprise.
Yeah, Microsoft announced a new bot framework this week. I believe it is version 4, and somebody told me, and I don't want to use the brand name, but they said, remember how Alexa went into one of the major hotel chains? I think it was Hyatt or somebody said, hey, we're going to roll these things out. Well, another hotel chain said, hey, we would love to do that, but we want to use our own assistant. And this is where Microsoft comes in, and then those bot framework partners can latch onto that and get into that ecosystem. So while people might be a little disappointed that, hey, their Alexa isn't in their house, or Cortana's not in their house per se, I think Microsoft's strategy here with Cortana going forward is going to be great.
I think they've
figured out how it fits in the market.
Skynet. That's what I was thinking.
Skynet. There we go. There we go.
No, Cortana's not Skynet. Cortana's much nicer.
Hopefully for now. There's so many announcements this week. But one of the big things that Microsoft showed off, I got a private demo, and Dux, I know you've got some strings you can pull. If you can find yourself in one of these rooms, I think you're going to be in love with this thing. And it's a problem. The problem is I'm going to buy one of these things, and my wife's going to be like, what does it do? And I'm like, look, it rotates. And she's going to be like, okay, what does it do? Anyways, so Microsoft announced earlier this year Surface Hub 2. They
sure.
announced it, I believe, May timeline. They said 2019. Well, they're not quite shipping that version in 2019. There's going to be two versions, 2S and 2X. 2S is effectively Surface Hub 1 that, uh-huh. That you could have bought last year in the Surface Hub 2 body.
Got it.
2X is what they showed off in the demo, the real fancy one that rotates
sure.
and all that stuff. Now, the frame, literally the screen and the frame, are the same between the two devices. But what they did was the compute module is modularized. So what you can do is, starting in 2019, you can buy a 2S. That's the only version that's going to be available. And then when 2X is ready in 2020, you can just buy, well, they haven't even said if you have to buy it yet. You can just swap the compute module.
Oh, wow.
And then you have it. You don't have to buy a whole new setup.
Got it.
And it was interesting because it sounded like, hey, maybe it was delayed. Maybe that's why they're doing this. But I think the compelling story here, and you might understand this better than anybody, is they said, look, Brad, here's the scenario. A company bought 25 Surface Hub 1s. We're no longer making that. They don't want a Surface Hub 2 because then they have two hub operating systems
that's
in their
right.
environment, and they just want one hub operating because they don't want to retrain the user. And I totally buy that argument.
Right.
But man, when you see the 2X, that full experience, it's
especially if you have multiple of them.
Yeah, well, they didn't. This is an early prototype. They wouldn't let us take pictures of it because it was a little rough. It was polished, but it was a little rough around the edges. But here's the coolest thing, and I don't think it has anything to do with the hardware. They showed us, so it's Surface Hub 2 is running. Up to 16 people can log into that same device at the same time. So, Dux, imagine this
right.
scenario. So, me and you are presenting. We both log in. You can open your OneDrive folder. I can open my OneDrive folder.
Okay.
We can both access the content all from one instance of the OS.
Which is Windows, right?
Wait, but here's the cooler part.
Huh?
The app security goes all the way down to the application layer. So if you open a Word document for content I'm not allowed to have, and I open a Word document and you try to copy and paste it into my Word document, it won't work.
But will I see it though?
You'll see it on your side. On your instance of Word, you will still see it. But if you try to paste it into my Word or try to save it into my OneDrive, it won't work.
Wow.
I think there's like huge... I was like, guys, this is like for virtual desktops, for virtualized environments. And they're like, we have nothing to share at this time. And I'm like, like this is it. Like this is a multi-user...
Are you sure we can talk about this?
Well, they didn't tell us we couldn't. And so here I already wrote about it and it's live. So I think this is fascinating. And I think it's one of the coolest things that's coming, because the problem is that doesn't show up until 2020.
Mm. Hey, 2020, that'll come by.
Yeah, 15, 18 months away.
So what do you think about this event? I mean, you've been coming to a lot of this. In fact, not just Microsoft events. You go to other events as well, right?
So there's a lot of energy here. And I'm not just saying that because, one, I'm here and we're podcasting from here. This one feels different than last year. I don't know if there's more people here, but there's definitely more traffic. We've been hanging out with the vendors in the booth. By the way, I talked to Mario, and he said to talk to you about riding that Ducati.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we interviewed Mario, one of your CTO.
Mario's our CTO, yeah.
Yeah, that's up on the channel as well. And it feels like there's more energy here, and I can't figure out why. I don't know if it's the announcements or people are just energized about what's going on, but Microsoft, I think, has put on a good show.
So do you think it's the depiction of where the industry is? Meaning organizations are fully on board now in this digital transformation. They're in it. They want to, you know, really take advantage of their investment in Microsoft and really just want to make it work for their organizations.
I think you're spot on. And I also think Microsoft has done a good job of removing distractions from the conversation. They used to talk about Windows Phone here, which granted they would love to be still talking about that, but they don't have to worry about fitting that narrative into everything else that they're doing.
Got it.
I'm going to write a post here soon in a little bit. I think Microsoft has removed the burden of Windows from their life. Now, I say that cautiously. I'm not saying Windows is going anywhere, but Microsoft is now realizing that apps can live by themselves. If it runs on Mac, if it runs on Linux, it doesn't always have to be a Windows-first world. And I think the perfect example of that is Unified Search that they announced.
That's right.
Unified Search, for those who aren't aware, every application that's in Microsoft 365 has a search box. Mm-hmm. But what you're going to be able to do now is you can go to that search box and search across your entire content library, your entire organization. And so what you have to do now is have 53 versions of File Explorer open to do that. And Microsoft is now bringing that all inside that. I think that's amazing.
I mean, it's the mother of all search, right?
Yeah.
You do a search, and it's not just searching through your documents. It'll look through your Yammer post, Teams, email. Now, on one hand, it's convenient. But on the other hand, I mean, I'm sure people working in risk and compliance and like, so now I could see everything. Now, certainly the beauty of what Microsoft has invested in around data governance and compliance,
sure,
those are certainly part of the consideration when they rolled out Microsoft Search.
Yeah, I think I wrote it in my post, I think this is the most underappreciated feature that was announced, because with the caveat, if Microsoft gets it right, this will be a game changer for people that they're not going up there to search like where's the copy or paste formatting button. They can go up there and say, hey, where's that presentation with ducks? And it opens.
That's
and
right.
They never had to go to File Explorer. They never had to do anything else. And it's just there.
And absolutely.
It's to some extent, it's all outside of Windows.
Yeah. And even you talk about underappreciation, right? So same with you. I love the announcement around Microsoft Search, and I can't wait for its fruition. And then there's these little things, right? Like Microsoft Ideas.
Yes.
That I thought was really cool and can be a game changer. It's like one of those things like co-authoring people don't really appreciate, but it's there. I think Microsoft Ideas is one of those things as well.
Yeah, I'm fully on board with that. And the nice thing about what Microsoft is talking about here, it's real tangible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can't touch a search box, but you can truly see how these two ideas can make your workflow better. And I think that's what's really important out here, is that these IT pros are going to go home with the knowledge and being, look, here's how we're going to make our employees work smarter, work better, work faster, and more connected.
And going back to your point, when you said, you know, this event, Microsoft is really focused, removing all the distractions, you can see it too in their overall story across the board. Like, let's pick modern workplace, right?
Yeah.
Or modern teamwork. The integration with SharePoint and Teams becoming closer and closer is wonderful. Like all the announcement that Jeff Teper made, he did a session with Lori Wright, Teams and just showing like from a SharePoint site, you can now there's a navigation to Teams, and then how SharePoint news pages and other elements of SharePoint would now show up in Teams as well. So I think the more integrated it would be, the better the experience for the modern enterprise worker would be, I think will help Microsoft succeed in this new world.
Yeah, and it's not just Windows. If you are, there's probably some Mac environments out there, but at least Mac users, files on demand.
Yeah, that's huge for OneDrive, yeah.
That is a feature that you don't know you love until you're realizing you're using it and you don't even know it because you just go open a file and it's there and you had no idea it was actually just streamed down.
So for folks not familiar with files on demand, essentially, you can see on your computer all the files you have in OneDrive, but it's not downloaded. It's a representation of the file. What's only downloaded are the files you use. So that means saving storage, saving bandwidth, all that good stuff.
It does take, Microsoft will say it's super easy to set up. When you're walking through the steps, just be conscious about what is actually going to download, because clearly if you're not connected to the internet, you can't grab the files. So all your super critical stuff, obviously keep it local. But we all know that instance where it's like, oh, I got to pull that presentation from 6 months ago because I want to reference something.
Yeah.
You don't need to keep that around. You just go up, grab it, it's on your machine, and you took no storage.
So what are your thoughts around Dynamics, some of the announcements they made?
So, kind of related. So they talked about this open data initiative on stage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With Adobe and SAP.
Yeah. When you said Dynamics, I kind of forgot about that. To me, this is super interesting because typically when you think CRM or ERP software of that nature, you think if it's not in here, it's not coming in or it's not going out. Now, again, this with the caveat of execution is flawless. If Microsoft, SAP, and Adobe, and hopefully others, I wouldn't hold your breath personally for Salesforce, but I think that would be a great one. But if they can create an exchange of data and there's no tax on performance or just financial tax or just time tax, this is massive. If those three
100%.
Platforms, I talked with Frank Shaw the night before, and he's like, yeah, we got some interesting stuff coming. And I was like, I've seen all the embargo stuff. And then they announced this. I'm like, that's really interesting if they can make it work at scale.
I think, personally, I want it to work, and I think this is a commitment at Satya's level. Right?
Yes, I agree.
And for something like that huge, you have the three leaders of, three of the largest organizations in this space. I think they'll make it happen.
And I think it's so representative of Microsoft as a whole lately, right? This is almost at the highest level of them saying, Microsoft is an open company. The fact that they're willing to take Dynamics and share that data with its partners is huge.
Well, you can argue they're competitors too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one major point I don't want to miss for people watching too. So we talked about all the announcements, the tech, the community that's buzzing. And I think one big general theme that I'm really impressed with, and it's not just a one-off, one event, or one session, it's the focus around diversity and technology.
Absolutely.
And in addition, Microsoft's investment around leveraging technology for goodness, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, there were sessions after sessions and initiatives for diversity and technology. Sunday, there were a pre-day session. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of topics throughout the week and luncheons. And it's empowering, right?
Yeah,
and
it absolutely.
It ties back to their mission to empower everyone. And then the announcements around the Account Guard, where Microsoft is helping politicians to not get in, not get in trouble with phishing.
And they're highly targeted, obviously.
Sure. And then lastly, it's, and I think Satya started with this, if I'm not mistaken, is around tech intensity, right?
Yep.
Where it's not just about business, is how do we take advantage of this and give back? And then the last announcement was what? AI for, they had AI for good, but AI for humanitarian.
Yes, humanitarian efforts.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's not only impressive, but it's inspiring, right?
Yeah.
They serve as a great role model for other organizations to aspire to.
Yep.
And it's okay to do that. And at the same time, you can also make money.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. The thing that I keep looking for, and Microsoft is, they're not tiptoeing around. I mean, they're going all into it, is trust.
Yes.
Trust in this industry has to be paramount. Because that not only, if you go into their modern desktop, if you buy that, meal and say, hey, I'm going to do this, all your data is with them. They could, in theory, they could really hurt your business if there wasn't that trust factor there. But I don't, I don't think any of us ever think that, because it would be detrimental to Microsoft if they found out, you know, they're peeking on your files or something. But these humanitarian efforts, these AI for good, these types of things, I think build trust with the with their user base that Microsoft is headed in the right direction.
Right.
They understand where things are going, and they want you to be a part of that journey with them.
And along that lines, trust is not lip service, right?
Right.
With these investments they have for social good. But at the same time, I mean, you look at all the investments they're doing around regionalized data center for data sovereignty. In fact, Microsoft has the most certifications and the most regional data centers anywhere in the world. You know, if you, they can't even, other competitors can't even match, right?
Yep.
So I think it's an exciting time, and I'm grateful to be in this ecosystem, to be working with partners and to interact with trailblazers like you. Trailblazers.
Trailblazers.
Yeah.
I laugh because my brother growing up had a Chevy Trailblazer, and that's the first thing I thought about was riding in that thing.
But again, thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely.
And for those not able to join Ignite, all the sessions were live stream recorded, so make sure you check it out.
Yep. And Dux, you did a couple sessions, right?
Yeah, I had a couple sessions. You know, I have a how to drive 90% Teams adoption in 90 days. Check that out.
90% in 90 days.
That's right, man. I had a
wow.
Essentially a room with 50 seats. I had maybe 2,500 people show up.
The thing I love about that more than anything else is that it's quantifiable, right?
Yeah.
It's not
best practices.
Right. It's not how to expedite your team's adoption so lots of people use it. It's 90% in 90 days. Here's how you do it.
And it's not just clickbait title, by the way. We provide
also good.
We provide a project plan, a schedule on how to do that. We give you step-by-step strategies. So, you know, I want to be a man of my word. 90%, 90 days.
Dux, I've never seen you half anything before, and as always, you always go in full with your entire heart, but it's because you're passionate about it, which is always fantastic.
Dude, life's too short not to be passionate. Right?
Before we sign it off, Dux, you got anything else you want to share with the world?
Boy, it's been a great event here, and we're excited that we're here with the AvePoint family. We got so much going on, our red party tonight. But I invite you guys to check us out, AvePoint, where we can help you maximize your Office 365 SharePoint investment and help your journey to the cloud, and we'll help you to get there.
Well, that wraps it up for today, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of the Enterprise Dish. You can always find out more at petri.com, and we'll catch you next time. Dux, thanks for joining us.
Bye.